Blog Talk Radio.
And gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another episode of Is This the Church? And I am your host, Sister AJ, and we got a great show planned for you today. Oh, but without further ado, but let me see who this caller is on here. See if I can get them unmuted. Okay. Doesn't want to act right today. Got this caller on. We don't get callers on here much, but we're trying to see who this is. Okay. There we go. Area code 518. Who is this?
This is your brother. How are you today?
I'm fine, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm so happy to see that you have continued to do the show and that the show is doing extremely, extremely well. And just calling in to see what you're doing and what you're talking about today.
All right. Well, brother, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. What we've been talking about here is the artificial intelligence and how it relates to end times and the image of the beast as the Bible talks about in Revelation 13. And I'm hoping to get your thoughts on some of this because it's being talked about a lot today. And so I'm wondering if it's something that Christians should be worried about or not. So that's what we're studying. And the study is called "And Knowledge Shall Increase." And my foundational scriptures are, of course, Revelation 13:11 through 18, and then also Daniel 12:4. So any thoughts? What have you been hearing so far concerning this subject?
Well, as you well know, our liberties as Americans is under attack. The way things are going, think about the agenda. Let's just think about these electric cars for a moment. If they force us to go electric cars, all of us, right?
Right.
If I was to get an electric car where I live at, with all the snow that we have, my battery would probably die out by the time I defrosted my car from all the snow.
Right.
So where am I going to go? Down the block with a dead battery? And then it takes 2 hours to fully charge. So,
yeah.
You know, basically I'm trapped because it'll take me a long time to get my car ready. Not everyone has a garage where they can park their car in. Many of us here park their car in the street. So mm-hmm. you have to heat up your car in the morning because it's frozen solid. So
that's right.
The battery, only holds so much of a charge. So whatever I have left in the battery, I'll probably go a block and a half before, it tells me I have to recharge. And it's a two-hour charge. So let's just say, if the Antichrist is after me, I'm a dead duck because... Let's say I'm on the highway and I'm going 90. Well, my batteries are going to die out.
So, right, and then have to decide if you're going to run your heat and all that kind of stuff as well, because that's going to draw on your battery power.
Right. I mean, I have to defrost my car. That's the heat.
Yeah.
Right. The windows get foggy, so you got to put on the defroster. So that's one issue. You know, these little cars that they want us to have, it's just a way of telling you and me, you're not going to go beyond a 10 block radius.
Right. That's just basically around town is all you'll be able to do, but traveling would be too much of a hassle.
Correct. That's one issue. The second issue is with every new phone they have, they're able to track you. Right?
Right, yeah.
That's right. And they're going to have these phones now where I'm pretty sure you're not even going to know that they put on a monitor and they're hearing everything you're saying and everything you're planning.
Right. And most of these newer cars anyway have tracking on it. They have GPS. They have all that stuff. So either way, we're being tracked and monitored.
Right. So your car, your telephone, then your computer.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to track your computer. Right?
Right.
They have cameras almost on every street now.
Yes.
So between cameras, computers, cell phones, and cars, you know, then if you're going to use your bank card, they can track you. Every purchase.
Right.
So basically you're a dead duck.
Exactly.
Now that's not, now we're not even talking AI yet. We're, you know,
right.
We're just talking about technology now.
Mm-hmm.
So the technology, the way they have it, think about the algorithms. If you decide to do a show on homosexuality, they will bury your show. It'll never see the light of day.
Right.
Because they may not cut
us off entirely from doing things on the internet, but what they'll do is they'll limit who hears it by having you like on an island somewhere where very few people would get to hear your message.
Right. What they'll do is they'll allow the people that have signed on to be a regular guest or a regular participant, those people will get the show. But outside of that,
mm-hmm.
They'll bury it. So the content is buried. You're being marginalized. I'll give you an example. Here in the state that I'm in, my governor just signed a law in the middle of the night. Very few people know about it. This is Governor Hochul. And they already have these camps set up that if your doctor says, let's say your doctor says you have COVID or your kids have COVID, they can
mm-hmm.
show up at your house at any time, grab you if you have COVID, grab your kids if they have COVID, take them from you. You have no rights. If they come in, it's a law already. They can come in the middle of the night and take you or your kid, whoever's sick, whoever they deem is a medical threat to the public. They can come in, grab you, and take you to that place until they deemed you are better.
And who knows how long that could be, if ever.
Correct. So let's say you're a single mom, and they come and they take you. You're sick. You got whatever. The doctor feels you are a menace or a threat to society. You didn't take your COVID shots, or perhaps you're anti-flu vaccinate, whatever. And you came
mm-hmm.
down with something. Now they have to report it. They can show up at your house. They can grab you, forcibly put you in some kind of vehicle, take you to the island of Dr. Moreau. And,
right.
You know, so
yeah.
Now that's without AI.
Yeah.
So that's just the Nazi state.
Mm-hmm.
So all around us, you can just see technology.
Things are officially put into place.
Sure. Absolutely. Now, here's the other thing. Now they want to force people, they want to eliminate single-family homes. This is what the New World Order is trying to do. They're trying to eliminate single-family homes, right?
Right.
So because, of course, it has to do with equity. Sister AJ worked really hard, and she wants to have her own house, 5 bedrooms, 4 baths. She wants to have a pool. But the equity police now don't want Sister AJ to have her own single-family home. They think that that's selfish of her. So now they're writing into law, eliminating all of these single-family homes, and what they want to do is what they're doing in China. They want to build these big apartment buildings where now they're going to assign you an apartment.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be a little cubby hole, base, almost, with just the basic things.
Right. And they monitor, they tell you how much electricity you can have, how much water you can use. You can't go anywhere because your little electric car, you know.
Or they'll put you in the 15-minute cities that they've authorized in various places where you can't, everything is within a 15-minute ride around the city, and you have to have special permission to go outside of those boundaries.
Right, right. And if people say, you know, people say that can't happen in America, well, I just gave you an example in my
already
state.
Have.
Right. And then, you know, they're eliminating borders. You know, when people come into this country illegally and they send a selfie back home saying, hey, I made it, I'm getting free hotel, free lunch and dinner, free school, free medical, what does that do to the others at home?
That incentivizes them to come too.
Right. So then they take American citizens and they kick them out because, you know, I don't get anything for free. Do you get anything for free, Sister AJ?
I sure don't.
I don't get anything
for
free.
And some of the stuff you pay for leaves a lot to be desired.
There you go. There you go. So the bottom line is, all of this is being done. We're already done for, and AI isn't even here.
Right. It's in the developmental stages, but still, you know, for the most part.
Right. Well, what I mean by that is, you and I know that AI is here, but they haven't let the cat out of the bag yet.
Right.
When they start talking about things, it's because they already have it.
Right, and the stuff that they're putting out, these different things, that products or whatever that are coming out, are testers to see how people receive it, and also it's put out there so it can, the AI itself, the technology, is supposed to be self-learning. So they put it out there so it can learn our habits, learn our wants and needs, learn our languages and all these kinds of things so that it can adapt. That's what they're doing with a lot of this stuff.
Absolutely. So if they're coming after me, let's say if the Antichrist sends a team after me, I'm done for, because they know what I'm doing right. They know what I'm doing right now. Where am I going to run to?
Nowhere.
No. So let's say you're a prepper. Let's say you got 40 acres.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing.
And are you going to have freedom to be able to plant things and have your livestock and different things, because everything is monitored and controlled? So I hear a lot of people saying, you know, fight against this. We can put a stop to it, particularly here in America. Save America. I don't know if that's possible. We might have been checkmated before we even knew there was a game, aside from the fact that the Lord's will be done, and a lot of what we're seeing is Bible prophecy, you know, or at least the beginning stages of all of that.
Right, right, right. On the one hand, you know, when you read Revelation 5, even before we... let's open up our Bibles for a moment here.
Okay.
Let's go to Revelation 5. I'll be reading out of the NIV. Revelation 5. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Revelation 4 and 5 make up the second vision in the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation has seven visions. The first vision contained in Revelations 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 1 is the introduction, but chapters 2 and 3 are the revelation of Jesus in the midst of the seven churches. Right?
Right.
That's the first. Jesus in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Okay. So now, if you go to chapter 4 for a minute, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked and beheld a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking unto me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this."
Mm-hmm.
So now you are introduced to the second vision. Okay, this is first vision. There are seven visions in the 22 chapters. The first vision is the vision of the seven churches, which represent 2,000 years of church history. The church of Ephesus, which is the first church named, is the apostolic church, and the church of Laodicea is today's church. So
right.
What you have is, in the seven churches, you have 2,000 years of what the church was and is and has become. And by the time we get to the church of Laodicea, the church is lukewarm and Jesus just wants to spit it out of its mouth. And it's just bad. The church is in bad shape. So
right.
That's the first vision. Now, the second vision opens up in chapter 4 with an invitation for John to come up higher. The first vision took place on earth, Jesus and the seven churches. Now the second vision takes place in God's throne room. Okay? So now John receives an invitation by the angel, and he says, come up here so I can show you what must take place afterwards. All right, so let's jump to chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So there was not one soul in heaven. We're talking about humans, right? There was not
right.
Abraham couldn't do it, David couldn't do it, Moses couldn't do it. None of the heroes of the faith was worthy to open up the scrolls. Those are the people in heaven. Then the people on earth are the current saints, the current believers. No one on earth. Not Jimmy Swaggart, okay? You name them. Any of the so-called top preachers, Juanita Bynum. None of these nuts that are out there.
T.D. Jakes.
No one on earth. T.D. Jakes, right? You name them.
Yeah.
No one on earth was worthy to open. And then the angel makes the proclamation, and the proclamation goes to the underworld, and no one in the underworld is able to open the seal. So now, it says in verse 4, so I, John, wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look on it. But one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the world. And the lamb came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So the lamb is Jesus. Jesus is the lamb, right? And now Jesus has seven horns, which means he has all power. And Jesus has seven eyes, which means he has all knowledge. He sees everything, right? If you have a friend who's walking down the street and somebody comes and bops him on the head, and you go to the hospital to visit your friend who has a concussion, and you say to him, how did it happen? He'll say to you, he'll use this phrase, I never saw it coming.
Right.
Right? Because he was, okay, not Jesus. Jesus knew the cross was coming. He told his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem. I must be betrayed. And Peter said, no, I won't let that happen. And Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus knew what would perfectly happen to him. He knew he had all knowledge. He has the seven eyes. He knows everything. And he has all power. And yet being all powerful and yet being all wise, he laid down his life that he might, what, redeem us. So that makes him, what, worthy. That makes him worthy. He's the God-man. He's the only one worthy to open the seals. Okay? So that's vision number two. Vision one is Jesus in the midst of the seven churches. All eyes are on him. He is speaking to all seven churches. He is the focal point of the first vision. In the second vision, chapters 4 and 5, he is what? The focal point. He is the lamb. A search goes out. The search goes out all over the universe for someone who's worthy to open a scroll with the seven seals. No one was found. John starts to cry. One of the elders tells him, don't cry. It's been solved. The lamb that has been slain. Seven horns, seven eyes, he is worthy to open the seals. And that's why Paul says, and I preach Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. He says, I preach Christ and him crucified. He says, to the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But unto us who believe, he is the power of God. There's the seven horns. And he is the wisdom of God. There you have the seven eyes. Okay? So now, who's been found worthy? Jesus. All right. So now let's go to the third vision. Here's the third vision.
Okay.
All right. And it says, let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 begins the third vision. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. This is the third vision. Okay, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to what? Conquer.
To conquer.
Okay. Right? So now Jesus is worthy. And the reason why John is weeping is because we're just stuck on pause. Nothing's changing. The world is getting worse. And here comes Jesus. He takes the scroll. And when he begins to open the scroll, he sets history in motion. The first thing to pop out, the moment Jesus opens up that scroll, the first thing that happens is Antichrist appears. Now, how do we know this is Antichrist here in chapter 6, verse 2? Well, he's on a white horse. He's mimicking Jesus.
Right?
In Revelation 19, Jesus comes back on a white horse. The Antichrist comes on a white horse. The white horse is a horse of peace. But he's a liar. Okay? Now, the other thing is, he comes with a bow. That's always an indication that this is Antichrist. When you read the book of Revelation, whenever Jesus is on a white horse, he always comes with a sword. The Antichrist has a what? A bow. The Antichrist has one crown that is given to him. Remember, Jesus has many crowns.
Right.
And to the Antichrist, he went forth conquering and to what? Conquer. So when Antichrist shows up, he will just blow away everybody. He will plow through everybody. He will conquer. He will take over the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
All of his political enemies, all of his political rivals will be vanquished. He will be sitting on top. Okay? So notice, we know biblically that whenever the Antichrist appears, he's got 7 years. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
He's got 7 years. Now look what follows. The second seal, verse 3. And Jesus opened the second seal, and I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out and was granted to him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth. Now, when Jesus comes on the white horse, he brings peace. But you see, associated with the second horse is the removal of peace. And the people
right.
should kill one another, and there was and to him was given a great sword. Okay, third seal. Verse 5, and he opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, come and see, and I looked, and behold, the black horse, and him that had sat upon it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine. So what happens? Famine. Famine comes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fourth seal,
right.
Verse 7. And he opened the fourth seal. I heard the voice from the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. The name of him that sat upon it was Death, and Hades followed him. And power was given to him to kill over one-fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and by the beast of the earth. So as you can see, all of these seals, Jesus is just setting the 7-year period in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Now we're jumping to another vision, okay? Because I want the audience to see how all of these visions are connected, okay? Because they all run parallel, they all run together, okay? Now, Revelation 12:1. Now I saw a great sign appear in the heavens: a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and upon her head a garland of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth, and another sign was given in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems upon his head. And with his tail he drew a third of stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to devour who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And the woman bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and this child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now again, that's speaking of the incarnation of Christ, Christ's ministry on earth, and then finally his ascension, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christ ascends to heaven. So now, if you jump down to Revelation chapter 12, verse number 8, I'm sorry, yes, verse 8. Or let's start at verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon and his angels did not prevail, nor was there found any place anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There it goes again. Notice in Revelation 5, we conquer because the Lamb was slain. The Lamb with
right.
the seven horns and the seven eyes was slain. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows his time is what?
Short.
Right? So now, chapter 13, which is the chapter you're on, since the devil knows his time is short, who does he summon? He summons reinforcements. Okay? So chapter 13, verse 1, and I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his head the word, on his head the blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, his authority. Now this is speaking of Antichrist.
Right.
Right? This is that. So the second vision, Revelation 4 and 5, see, Jesus is bringing history to a head. He's, in other words, Jesus is wrapping up this crappy world, right? As we look at this world right now, this world is the crappiest it's ever been.
Right.
When you have transgender military, when you have a general who appears on TV and he's dressed up like a drag queen, we're in bad shape.
Yes, we are.
We're just this world. You look at what they're doing to little kids, the mutilation of little kids. I mean, like you said, America's already cooked. We've already lost the chess game. It's over. Listen. The politicians are just playing a little game. It's all over. We're $33 trillion in debt.
That's right.
It's over. Social Security, they're just printing checks. There's no money to back any of this.
It's worthless. The dollar in our pocket isn't worth anything, really.
So they're just trying to hold things together, the world, Satan's world. Satan is just trying to hold things together before he brings in Antichrist. But remember, the one who really introduces Antichrist is the Lamb. Now, Satan's not worthy. The Lamb is worthy. And when he opens the seal, the Lamb is sovereign, not Satan. Jesus
right.
is in control, not Satan. When Jesus opens the seal, the first person to show up is whom? Antichrist.
This is why in chapter 12, again, it goes back to this child who is born of the woman. That's what we're celebrating right now. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. And after that, Satan tried to destroy him, but he was caught up into heaven. Jesus has already ascended. He sits at the right hand of God, and he's about to open that seal. When he opens the seal in Revelation 5, Revelation 6, the first writer is Antichrist, and all of the other writers are a byproduct of Antichrist's rule.
Mm-hmm.
And it parallels with Revelation 12 and 13. Where the first beast that comes up, the Antichrist. He's the first one that he's the first thing that shows up. Because again, it has to follow the sequence of the seals. And then when you get into the later part, the middle of the chapter, where you have the other beast, this is where you get into the AI stuff. Right?
Okay.
Because now, right now, they have all the technology to catch us. I mean, I'm a sitting duck. I'm a sitting duck for the Antichrist. Listen, there's nowhere for me to run. There's nothing I can do. If they want to arrest me today and make up lies about me and throw away the key, they can do that so easy.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
And they using AI technology right now, they can duplicate you on video and audio, and it'll look and sound just like you.
Correct.
People won't know the difference.
They won't know. They won't know. And since the spirit of Antichrist will be unleashed, they will say this guy's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to side with the powers that be. Right? Look at what's happening to Israel right now. Israel. Israel's only defending themselves. And they're the ones that are the monsters.
Yes. You know, the ones chopping off babies' heads, you know, they're the victims according to this bizarro upside-down world we find ourselves in.
Right. Now, look at the LGBT alphabet community. They're all for Hamas. Well, if you lived in Gaza, anybody in that community would be either have their throats cut or taken to the highest building and thrown off a roof.
Absolutely.
And yet, they support Hamas.
Pretty much the same as anyone who doesn't follow the tenets of Islam. You know, you're infidels to be killed. So I am just astonished when I see Americans in particular standing shoulder to shoulder with them.
Right. Absolutely. These are the people who flew the planes. Well, you know, we know that the people who flew the planes are dead, but they have the same mindset. If they were pilots, they wouldn't have a problem getting into a plane and flying it into your child's school. They wouldn't have a problem, right? But here you are supporting these people. So that's the kind of world that we live in right now. And when that first seal is cracked, and Jesus says, okay, let's wrap it up. We'll wrap it up in 7 years because he's in control. He's got all power. He's got all wisdom. He opens that seal and Antichrist comes out. And when you read chapter 11, when you read chapter 13, I mean, Antichrist is unstoppable. Unstoppable. So
there's who
right
can
now,
make war
right
with
now.
Like him.
I'm sorry.
I said it, but Revelation 13 says who is able to make war with him, who is like the beast.
Right. No one. No one. And now, with, you know, when you look at our government and all the spying tools that they have and how they, you know, they want to drone somebody. They want to blow them up. They just send a drone. And they know exactly yep. where that person is. So to round up literal me, is not, first of all, I'm too old to run. I'm going to say, catch me. Here I am.
Right.
You know, what's the use of running?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We're going to have to trust God or whomever if we're gone. Whomever is here when that time comes will be needing to trust the Lord in ways that we never imagined before.
Correct. Correct.
Especially here in America where things have been different than, say, other places in the world that have a different type of government, like, say, China. You know, the saints in there, this is old stuff to them.
Correct. Now, think about China when COVID hit, what China did. Families that had COVID, they just sealed them in their apartments and let them die.
Yes.
You know, that's the brutality of, you know, they just sealed their, that's it. I can't imagine what those families went through, what, you know, but that's, you know, and listen, that's Chinese violence on Chinese.
Right.
Forget about white violence on black people or black people's violence on Hispanic. No. We're talking about Chinese on Chinese.
Right.
You know, and this is why Jesus said, mother will betray daughter, daughter will betray mother. That's what we're going to come to. And with AI, it's going, oh my goodness, like you said, look what he said. You didn't notice, but he said this, that he wanted to molest little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to have 50, 60, 70 people waiting outside my house with bats. As soon as I come out, look at that pedophile. They're going to club me to death.
Exactly.
Right? Well, and again, like you said, it's all made up.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember this, back in the days of Bill Clinton when he was in trouble with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
A divergent story, and Hollywood got in the act, and Hollywood started to record, you know, some people. They made a stage. They got someone who can, you know, speak the accent, the Croatian accent, and I mean, they just made a whole movie and sold it as real.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollywood did a movie, I think it was called Wag the Dog or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that movie. Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was all a hoax. Now, that was in the 90s. This is 30 years later, almost 40. Those guys are experts now.
More advanced. And I've been thinking about these writer strikes and different things that's happening in the entertainment industry where it seems to be a purge. You know, people are dying or other people get in trouble with some kind of scandal. And it could be because the new world, the great reset, whatever you want to call it, they're just not going to need all of that to make movies and entertainment. You're not going to need all those people. You know, these celebrities with their diva attitudes and stuff, you don't have to worry about that. Just get on the computer and you got their images, their voices. You can make anything just using technology.
Anything. I used to get, when I used to listen to Casey Kasem. I don't know if you ever heard of Casey Kasem.
Yeah, I do.
he used to do top 40 in America, right? You know, and I used to get my little cassette player, and the radio would be playing, and I would press record on my recorder, and then you know, so I could put that I could put that tape, that cassette tape, I could put it in my Walkman.
Right.
Now, that's just me with Mickey Mouse technology. Can you imagine these people who just, you know, it's amazing. It's just
all the time that I was little and I would hear about the last days and they would talk about these things and, you know, couldn't buy and sell and all this stuff. And as a child, I couldn't even imagine how that could happen. But now here we are looking at it. We're on the precipice, I guess you could say, of all of what's been talked about coming to pass.
Right. Sure. They're going to control. If they go, let's say, next March, let's say they go to a digital dollar, we're done for.
Well, they're already got that. They're working on that as we speak because the president put out a executive order or something to have them study the possibility of making a digital dollar, which we know they're going to do it. Some of this cryptocurrency stuff was just the precursor to the digital dollar. They put these little testers out. That's what it appears to be to me, to see how it's received. And so now they're doing the digital dollar study, they say, but I'm sure they've already got it. It's just a matter of when to implement it.
6 months ago in my state, they already approved the digital dollar.
Mm-hmm.
State is ahead of the federal government. And the reason why my state is ahead of the federal government is because, you know, the federal government, you have the House of Representatives, you have the Senate. So there's still a fight. But in my state, it's all Democrat. So they already passed it with no problem. So now we have the digital dollars been approved. My state is a sanctuary state. It's not a sanctuary city, it's a sanctuary state. If they don't like the way you're breathing, they're going to come and grab you and take you somewhere. So what rights do you have?
Not many.
Not many.
They've already done the things to get around the Constitution. You know, people have treated like it's sacred writing, but there's always been ways around it from the very beginning. If you go back in history, where we're at now was started even way back then, not too far removed from the American Revolution. There were always ways to get around stuff if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. So that's where we are, and when AI comes, it's just going to, like you said, it's the nail in the coffin.
It's the nail in the coffin
because the coffin has already been bought.
The mausoleum has been paid for.
That's it. America is done for. It's just done. It's just done.
Right.
You know, it's over. It's just over. It's just, you know, I saw a documentary one time. And the documentary was basically saying, you know, before Rome collapsed, what did the politicians give the people?
Bread and
well,
circuses.
They gave them circuses, theater, games, fights, you name it, right? They gave them entertainment. They gave them entertainment. So the documentary went from that, and then it said, okay, what happened before the Great Depression? Same thing. They flooded America with what? Entertainment.
Yeah.
And the
pleasure.
People, and the people weren't paying attention. So what do we have today? We're flooded with entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're flooded, entertainment. You listen, there isn't a day in the year where there's not some sports event going on.
Right. And all the movies that you want to look at through various streaming platforms or, you know, cable or whatever it is that you use to access things.
They have movies. They have music. They have these phones that hypnotize people. They got the Facebook. They got the TikTok. They got all kinds of, right?
Right.
Which could be used for good. But in many instances, you know, it's hypnotizing
people.
Well,
the heart of man is wicked. So even if we have the best of intentions with some of this technology, you know, it's going to get corrupted.
Right. So, you have the Pope. The Pope is on two soapboxes. One is the Pope's now talking transgender. Oh, let's open the door. Let's welcome them. That's one soapbox he's on. And then the other thing he's always talking about is global warming. Now, if you read the book of Revelation, and plus you read Peter's second epistle, you know God's going to take this planet and just burn it up.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, Peter says, the world that now is shall be passed through fire. All of its works, all of the artwork, all of the books ever written, all of the buildings ever stand, all of that is, God is just going to disintegrate it all. Peter says, we look for a new heaven and a, so what is the Pope, we know this is not true, but he's supposed to be the vicar of Christ. You don't know that? You don't know. I mean, he should be telling humanity, listen, global warming, I'm here to talk to you about hell. Forget global warming. Let's talk about hell. This guy, I mean, it's laughable. It's laughable. But, you know, he's got people's ears and you know, the Pope, you know, is for transgender and LGBT rights, and he's softening and blah, blah, blah. We know what's coming. We know what's happening. We know the deal.
Right.
But, yeah,
we read.
The AI is very scary.
Yes. But, and one thing that started me on this, even paying attention to a lot of this, because I know that our sister Marie did a lot of shows about technology and the technocracy and different things that were happening. But then in 2022 or 2021, it's been about 2 years, where Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, came out with an announcement that he was changing the name of the company to Meta, and then they're trying to create this metaverse, this universe that's all virtual, where we will live and work and play inside this virtual world. And that's something that they're working on now. If you want, I can have some video to try to you know, explain what this is. And it's something that really got me thinking because it sounded just like The Matrix to me.
Right.
And this is a convergence. This is some of the technology. You talk about bread and circuses. And because of his social media background with Facebook, I think Zuckerberg is chosen to try to spearhead getting this thing, this off the ground for people to be able to use when the world becomes so bad in reality that people want to escape into this virtual world. Some people laugh at it now, but I think that's what they're working towards with it.
I have no doubt. Here in my state, they're fighting over marijuana licenses.
Really?
I mean, I mean, you know, because the state, you know, is going to allow the sale of marijuana. They're going to tax it, of course, like they do cigarettes and beer and lotto,
right.
And, you know, everything. Because the state needs money to survive, to supply, you know, the $500 a night rooms for the immigrants. You know,
right.
So
it is,
you know,
easy.
Now they have these marijuana dispensaries, and you have to apply. It's like when the bodega, yeah, like a liquor license or a grocery store license. You know, if a grocery store wants to accept food stamps, you got to apply. You know what I'm saying? It's all that stuff.
Right.
So now, you know, in addition to gambling, listen, I stand online sometimes in the morning for coffee. There's a little coffee shop by me. And sometimes I just don't want to brew a cup, you know, at 4 in the morning or 5, so I just walk over and I get myself a cup of coffee. At that time, there's 5 or 6 people in front of me saying, can I have 3 number 7s and 2 number 10s? And those are those scratch-off things.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, I mean, that's big. Those scratch-off things are big business.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
got those here.
Yeah, so you, it, money, gambling, marijuana, the stuff that's coming. What's that stuff that's killing the kids coming over the border? What's that drug? Fentanyl, right?
Opioids.
I mean, here at the high school, fentanyl, right? Over here at the high school, I was told that they have litter boxes. For young teenagers. I said, what do you mean litter box? They said, yeah. Kids, boys and girls who believe that they're cats and dogs, they have, now remember, I live in a farming community. There are turkeys
right.
Everywhere. There's possums. There's porcupines, right? I mean, so there are kids who live in those kinds of environments, they live in a country environment, and they believe that they're a dog. So the high school has these little mats for them where they can go have their safe zone. They are allowed to bark. The ones that believe that they're cats, they're allowed to meow. This is bizarro.
And some of this technology, the virtual world I think what we're seeing with that, what you just described, this transgender stuff, and they're trying to redefine reality. Because in the metaverse world, the virtual world that they're creating, the basic theme that I've seen in all this video material I've been watching is that you can be anything that you want to be here. You can be your own God and create your own reality. They're redefining reality. They're redefining even what it is to be human. and what's real is this based on how you feel at the time. So a lot of this stuff we're seeing is grooming.
Right, right. Yeah, and of course, if the Lord tarries and our generation is not around, that other generation is going to fall easily.
Right, because a lot of adults are goofy and into this stuff. I was listening to one of those videos of a man who thought he was a woman, but then now he's detransitioning, as they call it. And he said that I was in my 40s when they got me with this stuff. So the children have no shot because they're being indoctrinated as early as kindergarten to believe this. It, just like you're saying, accommodating all this craziness that, you know, kids do this all the time. You use your imagination and you pretend to be other things and, you know, it's just play. But now they're trying to trap them in that imaginary world. So think about this. If you got a place, actual place, where you can put on these virtual headsets and go in there and actually be that.
Yeah. It's
imagine the appeal, especially if the real world is so dystopic and terrible until you just is just untenable, so people spend a lot of time in the virtual world.
Yeah. It's like you said, this is bizarro land. When the Antichrist appears, he's going to have every weapon at his disposal. Reading chapter 13 of Revelation and that image of the beast, back in the days of John, they had these mechanical, they had these giant idols. With people on the inside pulling levers and cranking and, you know, making the image move. But I can just imagine, you know, what the Antichrist is going to have at his disposal through AI in the last days. I mean, it'll just be incredible what he will have at his disposal.
Right. And you know, and as you well know, I'm sure that the Greek word for image is the where we get our word icon from.
Right.
And you hear that word thrown around a lot, especially describing celebrities and entertainers, you know, rich and famous and powerful are that word is used to describe them.
Right, and even in the pagan church today, iconography. Right, there's this contemplative praying. Right,
yes.
You focus on an icon, and you look at it, and you keep looking at it, and it's somehow it's supposed to come to life and talk to you. You know.
Right. Well, now I will. Actually do that.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's and look, you said it early on. We're not stopping this because this is the will of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna break the seal. When the seal is broken, we're gonna have seven bad years and that's that. You know,
that's right.
That's it, because Jesus wants to wrap this up.
Right.
And he wraps it up. He wraps it up when the Antichrist appears, and then the seven-year clock starts to tick. Because Satan is angry. He knows he has but a short time.
Right. So he wants to hurry this stuff up as well.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is why the technology is the knowledge is increasing so rapidly. I mean, I barely know how to work the phone that I have, and there's been three more models of it since I got the one I have. It's like, why do they need to do this so quickly? There's got to be a reason for it.
Yeah. The other day I went to this phone place because my wife wanted to see if we can. I have a little Walmart phone. It's just a flip phone, and I pay $30 a month for the service, and I'm very happy with it because that I don't text. If my wife wants to know where I am, it's like a tracking device for her. Where are you? Okay, I'm here. You know, what do you need from Dollar General? Oh, give me, you know, hamburger buns, whatever. You know, it's a way of, you know, if she doesn't have to go out, she'll call me to see where I am to see if I can pick something up. It's just a little phone. But she said, you know, you have to upgrade, honey. You should learn how to use, you know. So I'm saying, okay, let's go see what, you know. And, man, we had to take a number.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was number three, which her number was number three. So they had a 25 to 30 minute wait for each number. I said, forget this. I'm going to Barnes & Noble. So we went to Barnes & Noble. We came back a half hour later. What number are you still up to? They were still stuck on the same numbers. So then from Barnes & Nobles, we went to Pet Supply because my wife wanted to see if they can clip my dog's toenails, his paw nails. They were long. So, man, 2 hours later, her number came up.
My goodness.
And people are just there waiting to see if they can get their phone upgraded, to see. I'm saying, forget this, man. I go into Walmart, I get my $30 phone, and that's that.
Right. The only reason I got a new phone recently is because the other one broke. I dropped
right.
it, and the screen just cracked all the pieces, so I had no choice.
Right, right. But, no, it's man, it's just, again, we're trapped. And there is no sense running.
Right.
No sense. No. If you think I'm going to be huffing and puffing, running through some woods, getting full of mud and rain and you know, trying to evade, man, you're going to twist an ankle. You're going to break an arm. You might even
get too old for that sort of thing.
That's it. I'm going to say, here I am, come and get me. Forget that.
And who knows, you know, the Lord could use us anywhere that we are, so it could be like Paul. He uses us even though we're locked up to help people and preach the gospel to them. So, you know.
Absolutely. So this notion that things are going to get better. Listen, and look, if I said it before, my opinion, this was my opinion when Hillary Clinton was running for president. I said, boy, those 8 years of Obama were tough. I said, she's going to be Obama 2.0. I said, Lord, give us a reprieve. And I felt, and again, I'm not a Donald Trump guy. I'm not a MAGA guy. I'm for Jesus. I'm for the kingdom of God. But at the same time, I said, man, if I can get 4 years of relief, and we almost had it, but the New World Order threw in there COVID.
Yeah, and that just brought everything down.
That brought him down. That brought the America First agenda, because remember, like you said, you know, is America done? Have we lost it? And the answer is yes. Because they brought down the president of the United States. They brought him down. Because they want to bring us all under control. That's it.
Right.
And
that's
listen,
right.
bringing him back, let's just say if people put their hope in Trump, man, you messed up. And again, it's not that I put my hope in him the first time. I was just saying, Lord, give me a little breathing room because these policies are jacking me up.
Right.
They were just, you know, the policies were just insane. The taxes were insane. Everything was insane. And so I was just saying, give me a little breathing room, Lord. Gas went down. You know, okay, I got a little bit more money because of the tax cuts. You know, okay, we're doing a little better. I got a little bit of breathing room. But then they threw the COVID monkey wrench and then the lockdown, the forced lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Trump didn't even know what hit him. He knew what hit him.
No, he didn't.
And then with all the evangelicals prophesying, you're going to be president. You're the Cyrus. You know, all that baloney.
They were wrong.
They were wrong, right? Because this thing is bigger than any man. This thing is big. The end times is bigger than any man, any country. That scroll, the seals have to be opened.
Right.
Because Jesus wants to wrap this thing up. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
He hears the cries of the people saying, Maranatha, Lord.
That's it.
But also,
these
are things that are going to happen. And so maybe we just need to trust in the Lord, believe on him in ways that maybe we didn't have to before, especially in the West, and hold on for this wild ride for those that'll be here when it happens. I'm not saying it's imminent, but we don't know. It could be.
Well, Sister Marie did a show, like you said, on, you know, the technocracy and all that, and I remember one show she did, one of the clips that she had, where they had this robot dog in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So the thing is patrolling to make sure there are no thieves.
Yeah, I saw one of those crimes, those shows that come on the Discovery Channel, of, you know, them at, saw, you know, trying to catch people and stuff. And one of the things they did, this guy had was locked up in a hotel room and refused to come out, and he had hostages and stuff. And what they did was send the robot dog in there, and he he grabbed the robot dog and pulled it into the room. But the reason they sent it there was because it's got cameras and they could monitor what he's doing in there. But eventually they were able to negotiate where he just came out. But, yeah, and that's not far from where I live, actually, where that happened. And even in my town, you see all these cameras everywhere. But I read an article that said they're not there for, like, traffic purposes or anything, but they're there to monitor from the police station. They're going to be hooked up to the police station, and they'll have this big control center where they can use all those cameras for traffic. Well, probably how it will start out, but it'll be other types of monitoring as well, and they're everywhere around here, and I don't live in a big city.
Well, I live in a little village now, a village of 4,000, and yesterday, a police officer came to the house. I just moved into a new house.
Okay.
And my wife tells me he came over because this house is listed as one of the vacant houses, and he wants to know why all the lights are on.
Hmm.
So, already, now you're talking about, I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's a little country hamlet.
How did they know that someone was there?
Well, because they saw the lights on. So, you know, as they patrol this little village,
okay,
they have on their list all the houses that are empty.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's part of their patrolling. They got to make sure, you know, it's not a drug den. It's not, you know, no one's making crack there or, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, no one's pulling pipes, copper pipes out of the house or anything. So the guy knocks on the door, and of course, there are boxes everywhere. There are boxes. You know, you can just tell somebody just moved in. So he comes in and says, what are you doing here? And he says, well, we live here. Well, this house is, they're monitoring already. They monitor, even in a little place like this, they're monitoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So,
the surveillance gives the Antichrist the ability to be like the Most High, which he's everywhere. He seems to know everything. He seems to be all-powerful. It gives him godlike attributes.
Right. Well, go back to World War II. And, you know, Hitler had his secret police. And those jokers found everybody.
Yes, they did.
And they had no technology.
That's right.
They had no technology, and, I mean, they were just the SS, right? They were just, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you escaped the SS, it was a miracle of God.
Right.
Those guys were expert investigators. They were when they questioned you, man, they were human lie detectors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
or people would sit, and that would be how they found out stuff, but they just seemed to know everything, didn't they?
They knew everything. And so add to that technology and add to that AI. You're not going anywhere. That's why I said I'm going to sit here and have me a cup of coffee before they drag me away.
Right. Or something happens and we're all just wiped out because, you know, that could happen as well.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean,
They want to kill a bunch of us for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, just let the crowd loose. You know,
yeah.
just say to a certain group of people. They can say to a certain community, you know, just go after them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know the criminal element is probably a part of the chaos that they're creating, so that they can bring their brand of order, which it might be great for a while because you'll feel safe. But it won't stay that way.
Right. I've had a few people call me and say, hey, why don't you come down to the main city? I said, you couldn't pay me to go. You couldn't pay me to go. Hey, come on down. Let's watch a Major League Baseball game. You couldn't pay me to go. I don't want to go.
Yeah, it's rough down there, especially for regular folks.
Yeah, sure. They're throwing people on train tracks. You take the subway, people come behind you and shove you when the train is coming.
Mm-hmm.
People get sucker punched. People get sucker punched. They're robbing. Car theft is at an all-time high. Car theft. By the way, over here in Syracuse, they have a colony of illegal immigrants that are there. They have given these people, they've given them vehicles to drive.
Really?
The immigrants? Yes. The immigrants have no driver's license. The cars have no license plates. The cars are not registered, but these people can be on the road.
Yeah.
Think about that. They're given a car. Let's say one of them hits you. Let's say you get into an accident. What's his driver's license? He doesn't have any. What's his registration? What's his insurance? What insurance policy? None.
Don't have nothing. So you're just out of luck.
Right. So when the cops see them with no license plate, they already know from the governor's office, don't touch them. Don't stop them. Don't pull them over. They're untouchables. Now, you have a little light that's not you have your signal lights not working. Woo, 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 woo. Put your hand on the vehicle.
Right, exactly.
So that's what I mean. It's all over. We're done. We're cooked. It's over. It's over.
Yes.
Look at that poor governor. Look at that poor governor in Texas. He's got buoys in the Rio Grande. He's got barbed wire. He's got, man, he's trying everything he can. And then when they land there, he buses them, you know, all over the place, and those people are mad.
Yeah.
They just, you know, but what is the guy supposed to do? The state of Texas can't handle it. You just can't take any more people.
Nope, they sure can't. Not because there's all these services that are being used to take care of them. So there's nothing for natural-born citizens.
It is what it is. I mean, you know, again, I am for humanity. I mean, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm for humanity. But there was a guy in the summertime, as I was going from house to house giving out flyers for people to come to church, there was a guy in the summertime who had a sign. He says, "Let them all in." So I asked him, "What does the sign mean, let them all in?" He said, "Yeah, we don't have a right to be, you know, keeping these poor people out. America's a country of immigrants, you know, the whole thing."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, let me ask a question. Why do you have this 6-foot fence?" I said to him, "If I was to bring my little vehicle, I have a little tiny car. If I was to bring my little vehicle and park it here, how would you feel about that?" "Well, this is my private property." I said, "Well, again, that goes to your argument. You cannot let them all in." Because
right.
If that's the case, why don't you let them all into your house?
Right.
Bring in 20 of them. Bring in 20. Bring 20 into your house.
To do that, just take them in. Let them camp out on your property.
Right. But the reality is, you know, we can't afford it. You know, there's a reason why my wife and I stopped having children. You can't afford it. Right?
Right.
You know, at some point you got to say, you know, we have four cars. We're going to get rid of two of them. You can't afford it. People, seniors, they come to a certain age. They had a big house because they had a big family. Now all the kids are gone. All the kids got married. What do? They downsize.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford it. You just, you know, so America can't afford it, but they're making us afford it. And it's now, you know, one global community where, you know, they're eliminating borders and it's the New World Order. And you know who's going to show up soon. And that'll be that, you know. That'll be that. So changing the subject if I can.
Absolutely.
Did you hear about the Bishop Carlton Pearson dying?
Yes, I did. I did a couple segments on a couple of shows about him. Yeah, I saw it. Mm-hmm.
Boy, he was in bad shape. He was in bad shape.
Now, the cancer, he had dealt with it like in the early 2000s, and it was in remission. And then when it returned, it was very aggressive. He didn't look well at all. And but what I'm noticing now that this was in the works before that, because you know we did shows about him a while back, and
right.
They're trying, it seems like Larry Reed and a lot that bunch are trying to rewrite the history of his life as far as what his ministry is all about, and that people should, the church treated him wrong, and so that's all I've been hearing lately from a lot of these so-called preachers.
Right. Well, mind you, the people who called him apostates were apostates themselves.
Right. They didn't do
right,
that because of sticking to the word. I just think he became bad for business when he went public with his true beliefs.
Right. Because, you know, these people are in the gospel business not because they love souls, but they use it for fear-mongering. You know, they fear-monger. Because if they really believe the gospel, those guys wouldn't do half the stuff they do. Right? I mean, those guys are criminals themselves. But so they blacklisted him because, like you said, he's bad for business because you got to preach hell. You can't eliminate hell. Because how are you going to scare
right.
the people to keep coming to church? So, no, you can't do that because church, you know,
they're
church is the money.
Money. Yeah.
Correct. But, like you said, they're trying to rewrite history. But he was bad then. He's bad today. Larry Reed is real. I mean, he's a reprobate, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been getting on people about talking bad about Carlton. And then there was some controversy of his funeral. You know where they had his funeral service at?
No, where did they have it?
Mike Todd, his church, and he officiated the funeral and the burial.
Now, that's the young man who went to, that's the guy who did the spittle in that guy's face?
Absolutely, yep, that's him.
Yeah,
his family went to Carlton Pearson's church there in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay, the church that became New Dimensions, right?
Right, and then they left with Gary McIntosh, which was Carlton's best friend and right-hand man.
Right.
Todd took over the church from Gary.
Right, I remember you did the shows, and that Gary was flaky anyway, and
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. So, yeah, that's...
And some people will say, well, you don't know if he went to hell or whatever, but he put out a video, which was pretty much his last video publicly, and I didn't see where he was backing off of his stance one bit.
No. That guy
went comfortably to his grave, still believing a false gospel.
Absolutely. And that's why Larry Reed did a show where he talked about how he favors fornication. He did a whole broadcast. It was maybe a 3-hour broadcast where he was just talking about fornication is good. I encourage you to fornicate. And that's right out of the Church of Thyatira, where Jesus said that Jezebel has seduced my servants to commit fornication.
Exactly.
So instead of a Jezebel, he's a Hechabel. the devil has given him a platform where now he's doing music production, he's doing television, he's in the entertainment business now.
Yep. And him and Bernard Jordan are still partners in crime.
Absolutely. Yeah, they are. It's amazing. I tell you. You can't put lipstick on that pig. Carlton Pearson.
Carlton may be even more dangerous now that he's dead than he was when he was alive, and he was pretty bad then. What do you think about that, the legacy that he's leaving behind?
Yeah, because he claimed that he was classical Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
I've always viewed him as classical buffoonery because I grew up in a classical Pentecostal church, and none of the stuff he did.
He was always suspect. Now that I think about it, I don't know if he was ever right. He had just been around church his whole life, so he was able to emulate and pretend very well.
That's all he did. He learned how to be a showman. In one video, short video clip that they showed after he died, he was dancing like he was Michael Jackson or James Brown, jumping around like to some gospel tune. He was just a showman. He was just a showman. That's all.
Right, and everybody talks about how nice he was and charismatic. It seems like Satan picked exactly the right man for that job, because he was the total package: good looks, talented, charismatic. So imagine
personable.
What the Antichrist is going to be like.
Boy, I tell you. Carlton, he met his maker, and it wasn't pretty.
Yeah. No,
he met
not.
His maker. And it was not pretty.
Well, Larry
again,
Reed and them don't think you're supposed to talk about that.
Well, again, Larry Reed is a Jew, a Book of Jude, Book of Second Peter, apostate.
Mm-hmm.
That's you read those two books and then you look at Larry Reed and you say, okay, that's what that looks like.
Right, you can almost put his picture right there in 2 Peter 2.
There you go. They're just wicked people. Their main emphasis is money. Money this, money that. They will hustle. They will have a 1 foot in the world and a foot in church. And the only reason why they have a foot in church is because that's where the money is.
Right. And it's right. A lot of gullible people willing to follow their charismatic personalities or their talent or whatever it is.
Yeah. Like
mainly they scratch people's itching ears. They tell us what we want to hear.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So these people are, like you said, Carlton Pearson, he got a lot of Pentecostals to believe that there is no hell. Then he got a lot of Pentecostals to believe that the LGBT community was okay. Then he got a lot of people, to believe in New Age, that you can mingle the church with New Age.
Right.
Because he was into everything.
New Age, New Thought, Eastern mysticism.
Right. Absolutely. He blended. He blended everything. He blended it all. And then you know, Yvette Flounders gave her 2 cents.
Yeah.
And
she didn't preach at the funeral though, because there was some controversy. I guess McIntosh didn't want her there or something. But Carlton wanted her there, so there was some infighting about that.
Now, why wouldn't McIntosh want her there? Was there any reason given?
Well, I guess because she's gay or something, you know, that's why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, that's the mixed bag that you're going to get with Carlton. You got to let everything in because Carlton was into everything.
Yep, anything goes. Basically, his gospel was a gospel that gives a license to sin.
Correct. Absolutely. So, Larry Reed is, Larry Reed is flying high. He's more of a tool of Satan than Bernard Jordan is. If you look at Bernard Jordan, yes, Bernard Jordan, he sits back. Bernard Jordan, he's already made. There's nothing for him to do. He already peaked. He already, you know, but you look at Larry Reed, he's still soaring. And as he soars, he influences more people in a very bad way.
That's right.
So I can see
Bernard Jordan,
yeah,
he got his platform from Carlton. So he started way a long time ago.
Well, this is what happened. I'll tell you what happened. In New York State, Bernard Jordan was big. He was real big. And so big that he used to travel with three guys. He used to travel with Roy Brown, which was real. Roy Brown was big in New York. Then you had Jay Delano Ellis, and the biggest one of all was Wilbert Sterling McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
Those three guys. And when they formed the Joint College of Bishops, Bernard Jordan was with those three guys in the car when they came up with the idea. I knew Bernard Jordan from Brooklyn, and I knew him well. He used to own a bookstore in Park Slope, and I used to go into that bookstore, and I used to buy books. And I knew Bernard Jordan well, and in the black church, he was a highly respected prophet in the black church. And like I said, he was embraced by Wilbur Sterling McKinley, and if McKinley signed off on you, you were made.
Mm.
He was also highly accepted by Roy Brown. If Roy Brown signed off on you, you were made. Sterling McKinley and Roy Brown were the two big guys. They were huge in Brooklyn. Huge. I used to go to Wilbur Sterling McKinley's church every Sunday night to hear him preach. He was, when it came to preaching, he was my mentor. Wilbur Sterling McKinley, he preached at my graduation. When I received my bachelor's degree, he preached at my Bible college. So they all traveled together. But then at one point, after endorsing Bernard Jordan, who was big, I mean, he was big, after endorsing him, then Bernard Jordan started to get flaky because he teamed up with Reverend Ike.
Yeah.
Now, because since they had already endorsed him, they couldn't take the endorsement back. See?
Mm-hmm.
So when Bernard Jordan went with Reverend Ike, he got greedy for money. Then McKinley could not take the endorsement back. Roy Brown couldn't take the endorsement back. But at that point, they had also turned, because then those two with Jay Delano Ellis, they started the joint college, which was a marriage with Rome.
Right, yeah.
So the three big guys, Wilbur Sterling McKinley, Roy E. Brown, and Jay Delano Ellis, they decided to make the joint college patterned after the Anglican Church, which is the harlot daughter of the Roman Catholic Church. And they teamed up with the guy over there in Louisiana, Paul Morton. Those four, with Bernard Jordan, started the joint college.
Okay.
So now, the reason why Carlton Pearson invited Bernard Jordan was because now classical Pentecostals were not into prophets. That's not part. Classical Pentecostalism had nothing to do with prophets, always with the pastor and the evangelist. So the prophetic movement became a latter rain type of thing. And Bernard Jordan was operating on that, and a few times, you know, because, you know, even Gene Dixon got a few prophecies right every now and then.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
right. So Bernard Jordan, because he had that prophetic element that no one, let me tell you something, Juanita Bynum, she was never at Bernard Jordan's level, never. And I can give you the whole history of Juanita Bynum, how she came to be something. But Bernard Jordan was huge in his own right. Then Carlton Pearson wanted to bring that prophecy thing to the fore, because everyone in the white church had it, but the black church didn't have it.
Right. Okay.
So that's why they brought forth Bernard Jordan. Now, T.D. Jakes is from a different group altogether, because he's won this Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a different, you know, T.D. Jakes doesn't believe in the Trinity. So he's a different kind of so-called Pentecostal.
Right.
So he didn't hang, T.D. Jakes never hung out with Roy Brown, Sterling McKinley, Jay Delano Ellis. They only hooked up later when T.D. Jakes blew up.
Right, because he was a money maker.
Right, so from different, they came from different streams. They came from different streams. So, Bernard Jordan was already, he was already big when he met
right.
with, now, of course, it doesn't, that doesn't mean that a losing streak doesn't add to you, doesn't give you, like, let's say if you had 1,000 connections and you went to Azusa Street, it doesn't mean that another 1,000 connections won't help you.
Right.
But
most of us never saw Bernard Jordan before Azusa. So that's kind of what I meant.
Right. No, but in New York, Bernard Jordan, you couldn't book him to go to your church. There were no dates left in his calendar.
Wow.
He was at a church every weekend, numerous churches every weekend, prophesying.
No, you had it right the first time.
Right. Right. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so because the black church didn't have the prophecy, that's why even today when Bernard Jordan did that new documentary on himself, he called himself America's Black Prophet. That's because all of the prophets in the church were in the white church.
Okay.
That was not a black church phenomenon.
So he brought that into the black church.
He brought that into the black church. He was major. Major. Now remember, Sterling McKinley was a bishop, Roy Brown was a bishop, J. Delano Ellis was bishop, but the prophet was Bernard Jordan.
Got it.
He was the singular prophet in the black church. Then Juanita Bynum, you know, she called herself prophet, but all she was a screamer. That's all she was, a screamer. And her ministry was only to women. Men never paid her any mind. She would take hurting women, you know, women from broken marriages, broken homes, whatever. She would rally 1,000 of them together. You know, her whole thing was always women.
Right. Well, women are, as the Bible says, we are easier to beguile. The devil always uses that trick bag.
Right. And that's why when she threw a brick through her husband's car and they had that big fight at the hotel. That's why she claimed domestic violence, because now all her bumblebees would rally around her because, you know, she was their champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that whole angle served her well.
Yes, it did.
You know, she was, and all those people, they all of them went off the rails, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, money ruins these people. Money, power. You know, the other day somebody sent me a video. I think it was Sister Cara sent me a video on Juanita Bynum, and Juanita Bynum says, "Don't put the offering in the plate. Come and put it in my hands because I want you to touch the anointing." You know, I want you to get a touch of the anointing. When you put it in my hand, when you put the $1,090 in my hand, I want you to come into contact with the anointing.
Right.
You know, that's Antichrist talk. Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. Money ruins these people. Money and power. You know, money and power. That's why when T.D. Jakes shut every door for Juanita Bynum, she went back on her hands and knees.
Yes, she did, in public. He made her humiliate herself in public.
In public. He said, you're going to have to do it in public. You're going to have me your shoes. And she did it.
Yes, she did.
Because money, instead of humbling herself before the Lord Jesus Christ, she went and humbled herself
before a man.
There you go. See, it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about Benjamin's ego. I think Bernard Jordan spent close to $100,000 to do that documentary of himself, America's Black Prophet. I think he got ten people to each donate $10,000. To get that documentary done.
Mm.
It's all an ego trip. You know, that's what that is.
And these apostate churches will be leading, like Pied Pipers, people to worship the Antichrist whenever he comes on the scene.
Right. Yeah, because, again, they don't want to lose their 501c3 status. They want to be able to come back, you know.
And on in.
Yeah, sure. You think Larry Reed is going to say no to the Antichrist?
No. I don't. Doing it, nope.
He's a tool of that already. He's a tool of Satan.
Right.
He's just a tool.
So when the man himself shows up, these guys will be just as in awe of him as anyone else. They won't see who he is. But,
absolutely.
Bro, we're just about out of time, and I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on here with me to give your take on AI and how the Antichrist will use it.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I don't know if I rattled off and went down some rabbit hole, but it was good to be on with you.
Thank you. And it's exactly what we needed to hear. Thank you. And, of course, you're welcome back anytime on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and stay blessed, and keep up the good work.
All right, thank you, and you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.